United States against Spencer. Ms. Lennon.
On behalf of Roosevelt Spencer, may it please the court. The focus under ACCA is the maximum amount of prison time that a state sentence...
The focus under...
Under the Armed Career Criminal Act, yeah, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Avoiding unpronounceable acronyms is a very good idea.
Okay. I will try to do that during the rest of my argument.
Just call it the Act.
The Act, okay. So the focus under the Act is the maximum amount of prison time that a sentencing court, a state sentencing court, is authorized to impose for an offense at the time of that offense. For a Class F offense in Wisconsin, the maximum is 7.5 years. It's mandatory, it applies universally, and it is below the Act's 10-year threshold. The government wants this court to interpret maximum term of imprisonment more broadly than it's been interpreted before, to include a term of supervision. But under the Act, maximum term of imprisonment means imprisonment. It means time in prison. And there's no reason to think that Congress wanted to mean something different here when it's used that way in other parts of the code. Throughout the government's brief, they substitute in prison, so two words, in prison, for imprisonment when they're talking about the 12.5-year maximum term of imprisonment contained in 939.50 of the Wisconsin statutes. As a general matter, and under ACCA, we don't disagree with the government's substitution of those two terms. They mean the same thing in those contexts. But in the context of 939.50, it means something different. The Wisconsin legislature has been clear on that. It's clear in the statutes. Context is essential here, and we need to consider it. The 12.5-year sentence is composed of both confinement and supervision time. And that's what imprisonment means in that context. It does not mean...
Could the supervision time under Wisconsin law involve confinement? Could it involve a requirement that the person stay in, say, a halfway house or something of that nature?
Your Honor, I'm not entirely sure the answer to your question. I don't believe...
Does that make a difference?
It does not make a difference for the term of confinement that can be imposed at the time of sentencing, no. So it doesn't make a difference for our argument now, because the maximum term of confinement in prison that the judge can impose at the time of sentencing is 7.5 years. So the judge could not, at the time of sentencing, say, I'm sentencing you to 8 years in prison, 7.5 years of that will be your actual sentence in prison, 30 or the other 6 months will, or the other period of time on supervision will be served in confinement, if that makes any sense. The judge couldn't do that. Confinement is capped at 7.5 years at the time of sentencing.
So the supervised release can't involve any confinement under Wisconsin law. Is that what you're saying?
The revocation
of supervision. 7.5 years in prison, 5 years on supervised release, and the first 4 years of that will be spent in a halfway house.
I don't believe so, no, Your Honor. I know that they can set terms of supervision, but I don't believe that confinement of that nature is something that they could set. I would be happy to file a supplemental brief, look into it further, if that would help Your Honors. But I don't believe so.
But certainly if he violates prison rules, he could serve up to the maximum of 12.5, right?
Only if the maximum sentence that's imposed at the time of sentencing is 7.5 years confinement, and then the maximum supervision is 5 years.
Right. But he could serve that additional time. And isn't part of the rationale for the statute, it's sort of an incentive for inmates to behave well during the time they're incarcerated, because they know this supervised release is out there and it could be revoked.
I suppose that's one way you could look at it, certainly, Your Honor. But then you could look at federal sentencing in the same way. Offenders have a obligation to behave well, otherwise their supervised release could be revoked eventually in the future. But that doesn't change the maximum term of confinement, the maximum term of imprisonment that can be imposed at the time of sentencing for the offense of conviction.
But then doesn't that mean that he was exposed to over your client over 10 years of imprisonment when he was convicted of dealing drugs, since there's that potential for him to be revoked because of some bad behavior in prison?
He was exposed to 7.5 years imprisonment.
Could his behavior in prison affect his supervised release? My thinking would be that he would have to commit an offense while he's on supervised release for that to be revoked, that his prison behavior wouldn't affect whether the supervised release could be revoked.
It gets a little bit more complicated because Section 302 point, I believe it's 113 of the DOC code, technically allows for confinement period to be extended if the offender commits some sort of violation, a serious violation of prison rules. So there are procedures in place to deal with that, and there are procedural protections, I should say, in place to deal with that. So the confinement time could be extended in the same way that supervision time can be revoked.
And by how much can it be extended?
It can be extended up to the amount of supervision time that a person was sentenced to. So
that's very difficult for your case, then.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it is, Your Honor, because the maximum, I keep going back to this, but I think it's essential. The most time that a judge can impose at the time of sentencing is 7.5 years. So the judge can't go above that, cannot impose imprisonment on top of that at the time of sentencing. For a violation later on, there are procedural protections in place to sort of revoke the release date or, you know, revoke supervision. And so a person could spend more time in prison on top of that. But I don't think that it affects our position because our position looks only at the offense of conviction, at what can happen at the time of sentencing, not relying on conduct that happens later on.
Well, in some other states, I know Indiana in particular, the person being sentenced knows that they're only going to have to serve half of that sentence unless they mess up while they're in prison. So if someone got, say, a 12-year period, a sentence of 12 years in Indiana, they serve 6 years unless they don't follow prison rules. And we consider that a sentence in excess of 10 years under the Act.
Right.
But in your situation, it sounds like the Wisconsin law, a person can get a 7.5-year term of imprisonment and a 5-year period of supervised release, but future behavior while in prison could extend that period of incarceration. So it could be, in effect, a sentence in excess of 10 years.
It could be in the same way that a felon in possession in federal court could end up serving a sentence of imprisonment more than 10 years. But it doesn't change the statutory maximum. So if a felon in possession is sentenced to the 10-year max and then their supervised release is revoked, they can end up serving 12, 13 years, depending on how many times it's revoked. That same thing happens in Wisconsin, but it doesn't change the confinement period that can be imposed at the time of sentencing. And to go back to what you asked, Your Honor, about, I believe it was Indiana law, even though there's a mandatory release date or something like that, it doesn't change the fact that the legislature wanted to set the maximum term of imprisonment at something more than 10 years because they enacted a different statute that makes release mandatory, does not impact the offense itself, the statutory penalty for the offense itself. And here the statute...
Is there a functional difference between a state law that says, as Indiana's, you're sentenced to 10 years in prison, but it will be as short as 5 if you behave yourself in prison, and a law like Wisconsin's, which says, roughly, you're sentenced to 5 years in prison, but it can be as long as 10 if you misbehave in prison? Is there any operational difference between those two things?
I think that there certainly is when you use the language that the Wisconsin statute uses. So maybe not the language that Your Honor just used, which sounds a little bit more questionable, I guess, more wishy-washy, but Wisconsin is concrete. It's definite. You can't, the circuit court cannot, absolutely under no circumstances.
Yeah, I understand what the court can do, but
right.
forget about Wisconsin, forget about Indiana. Just look at the federal good time statute. Federal good time statute says you get 15% off maximum, but you don't get anything off if you misbehave while you're in prison. And now suppose Congress just revises that to say the judge shall now impose the 85% sentence to start with, and it can be increased by 15% by the prison officials. Has that in any functional way changed what the maximum sentence is? What used to be a federal 10-year sentence would instantly become a federal 8.5-year sentence, but the actual thing that's happening to the defendant would be unaffected. Should we now say that the new federal 8.5-year sentence is not a sentence for 10 years or more?
No. Because the court, and correct me if I'm wrong under your hypothetical, Your Honor, but I believe that the court can still impose a 10-year sentence and then other statutes deal with how it's carried out.
No. I've just said, okay, suppose Congress just takes the 15% good time, reduces the original sentence, and then adds it back on the back end, so that a sentence in federal court of 8.5 years imprisonment can require you to stay in prison for 10 years. It's the same sentence with different words. The question all of us are asking is whether the form of words used to impose that sentence matters for the purpose of figuring out how 924E2A little I works.
I think the best answer that I have to your question is that words certainly do matter. Mm-hmm. And the way
that's pretty common in law, words matter.
And the way Congress or a state legislature, you know, sets the term that can be imposed at the time of sentencing. So however the statute's worded that addresses what the maximum is for the offense
itself. I think I understand your position. Your position is that the maximum term of imprisonment prescribed by law, that's the statutory language,
yes,
means the highest number the judge can say on the day of sentencing, and that anything that happens after that doesn't matter.
Correct, that applies across the board. So I'm not talking about a guideline issue or something that differs offender to offender.
I understand your position. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. O'Shea.
Good morning.
So let me start with a variant of this question.
Right?
The defendant is sentenced to 5 years in prison. It is, and that's the statutory maximum.
Right.
It's a Class B felony. And for a Class B felony in federal court, the term of supervised release is going to be 5 years most of the time. And 5 plus 5 equals 10. Is that conviction one that counts as one for which the maximum term of imprisonment prescribed by law is 10 years?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
And that is, if Congress says the maximum penalty is for a particular crime is 5 years.
No, Congress has said the maximum penalty for a crime that the judge can pronounce on the day of sentencing is 5 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The judge also can pronounce 5 years of supervised release.
Mm-hmm.
And if the defendant misbehaves, the upshot is he can spend 10 whole years in prison,
right,
without being convicted of any further crime.
Yes.
Why doesn't that 5 years count on the rationale you're giving about why the 5 years in Wisconsin counts?
I don't have a good answer with that. This is sort of
your brief asserts that it doesn't, and you just asserted that it doesn't. But yeah, I have the same problem. I can't see why it doesn't. If the Wisconsin 5-year period counts, I can't see why 5 years of federal supervised release doesn't count. And then what's happened to 924E2A, Romanet 1, is that instead of saying you get this recidivist penalty if you've previously been convicted of a crime for which you can get 10 years in prison, what it actually means is you get it if you've been convicted of a crime for which you can get 5 years in prison. Can that be right?
Okay. And I want to make sure I'm... Could I impose you to repeat that? Because we're talking about him. Because there's no recidivism.
It's not very hard.
Okay.
There are all sorts of federal felony statutes for which 5 years is the maximum term of imprisonment.
Okay.
Under 18 U.S.C. 3583b1, those statutes, all Class A and Class B felonies, permit a term of supervised release of 5 years.
Yes.
And so the maximum sentence the judge can pronounce on the day is 5 years in prison, 5 years supervised release, footnote. If you're not a good boy, this means you will serve 10 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a 5 year max or a 10 year max? That's the question I'm asking.
Right, right. And I believe it's a, I believe that that would be still be a 5 year max, Your Honor.
But why? How is that any different from what Wisconsin did? On the day of sentencing,
right,
the judge can say, I sentence you to 5 years or 7.5 years. And then something that happens after sentencing will determine how long you actually spend in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But you can spend a longer time, 10 years in this federal system that I've described, 12.5 years in Wisconsin. You can spend a longer time without being convicted of a new crime,
right,
if you engage in misbehavior.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out why, if that extra 5 years being tacked on, potentially tacked on for misbehavior in Wisconsin, counts toward the 10 years in the Armed Career Criminal Act, why the 5 years potentially tacked on as a matter of federal supervised release doesn't count. And so far I haven't seen a reason why one would count and the other would not count.
And, well, I will provide an answer, Your Honor, but and that's where things get really messy really quick. We've got 50 states, and the court has to interpret 50 different ways of doing things. Indiana does it one way, Wisconsin does it another.
Exactly.
So,
well, one way to avoid that would be to say that the maximum term of imprisonment for the purpose of the act is the highest number the judge can pronounce on the day of sentencing.
Mm-hmm.
And that any extra imprisonment that happens as a result of later misconduct doesn't count. And if that's the rule, then in Wisconsin, the sentence is 7.5 years.
Right.
Because that's the highest number the judge can say on the day, and anything later might add to it, but it doesn't count. Now, why isn't that the optimal rule? And then we could actually carry out what's going on in 50 different states and the federal system.
Right.
Not to mention Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Virgin Islands.
Right.
So your puzzlement makes me wonder whether the rule of lenity might come into play here. There's some confusion about what these Wisconsin laws mean. And so why not?
Well,
why doesn't the benefit go to the defendant on this?
Okay. Well, under the Wisconsin law, the Wisconsin statutes, the court has to say... I'll come back to it because I think this could also apply, as Ms. Lennon points out and Judge Easter points out, in the context of a supervised release situation. But the judge is required to tell the person when they're sentenced that, and I'm quoting from 973.01.8(4), that the amount of time the person must actually serve in prison may be extended. And that because of the extensions, and it cites the other statute, the person could serve the entire bifurcated sentence in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's not based on any judicial finding, rather, but by executive branch within the state of Wisconsin.
Have to do with the meaning of 924E2A Romanet 1?
It means that the person could be sentenced, as you say, as the court could, if that's the way we decided to do it, that the court could say, hey, listen, 7.5 years in prison, that's the most I can give you today. But that person could spend more than 10 years in prison because of decisions made
by a warden. The same with supervised release. You're sentenced to 5 years in prison today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if on the day you're let out, you refuse to show up for your drug test, or you leave the jurisdiction without permission, or you don't maintain, or you don't do any of these other things, or worse, of course, you rob another bank, you can be sent back to prison for 5 more years with no finding that a new crime has been committed. no right to jury trial, no beyond a reasonable doubt, none of those things.
Right. You do have the difference. One difference would be a judicial intermediary, but true, lower burden of proof.
And you will have in Wisconsin, I assume the person won't be called a state judge, he'll be called an administrative law judge,
mm-hmm.
because the due process clause will entitle the defendant to that, to a neutral and detached magistrate.
Well,
no matter what name Wisconsin gives to that position.
Well, depending on that neutral and detached magistrate can be called the warden for many of the offenses. It's sort of incremental.
Red Wolf against McDonald, warden can't do it.
Okay.
If Wisconsin says the warden can just do this out of his hip pocket, it's a blatant violation of the due process clause as the Supreme Court understood it in Wolf.
Okay.
I don't think you want to make your case depend on trying to persuade us that the Supreme Court was wrong in Wolf against McDonald.
That is not my goal, Your Honor.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Right.
But this is a thorny, very difficult issue. Judge Crabb struggled with it. We've struggled with it. I hope the court does.
Because that 12-year max, 12 years, 6 months imprisonment, all they're essentially saying is they're just saying how that can be broken down. They're still saying, they're saying, so just like in our system when you add the supervised release, we just don't say maximum sentence of 12 years, mm-hmm. 5 years could be supervised mm-hmm. release. So the reality is it's the amount that is served on the defendant is sentenced to on the day.
That'd be a fine way
Which
of doing
is seven
things.
And, 7.5 years.
That'd be a fine way of doing things.
It's
Judge.
Just that we don't say, we don't couch it in the federal system to just say, and the maximum is 12 years, which includes your supervised release and your, and our mandatory or our max is
right.
5 years.
Right. The stubborn fact is, though, that person might be sentenced to 7.5 years and come out more than 10 years later out of that prison.
Right, but that would be because they misbehaved in prison or they got out on the street and they screwed up and they have to go back and finish out the term.
Right, and in that term, it's
not
the
a
maximum
term of
term.
Confinement that's imposed by the sentencing judge.
True.
At the time of sentence. Term of confinement can be no more than 7.5 years.
On that day. But the person's worst-case custodial scenario, our stubborn fact is, it's more than 10 years.
Well, that's why we keep bringing up supervised release.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, by the way, is the norm for Class A and Class B felonies under 3583. But we've got a whole bunch of statutes that make supervised relief for life possible, for every sex offense in federal court, lifetime supervised release is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And on that rationale, it seems to me, every sex offense of any kind, no matter how low the statutory maximum is, counts as a sentence for which more than 10 years was possible under the Armed Career Criminal Act.
Okay. All right, well, thank you. If there are any other questions, I'd be happy to address them, but I appreciate the hard thought you've already put into this case, and I'm sure there'll be more to come. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. O'Shea. Ms. Lennon, your time has expired, but we asked you a lot of questions. Indeed, we kept Mr. O'Shea up over time, so if you've got something for a minute or two in rebuttal, we're certainly open to it.
I don't have anything of substance to add other than just to direct Your Honor's attentions to the specific statute that sets the due process procedures for extra confinement in prison, and that's 302.113, and it does have to be an adjudication.
302.113?
Correct. And it does have to be an adjudication by an administrative law judge and then reviewed by a circuit court if necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You.
Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.